This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه. Indeed, all praise belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him and we thank Him and we seek His forgiveness and we put our trust in Him. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. And we seek refuge in Allah azza wa jal from the evil inclination of our souls and from the negative consequences of our sins. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. Because whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, none can misguide, and whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala misguides, then none can bring them back. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. And I bear witness with full conviction that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his last and final messenger. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatih wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. O you who believe, have that taqwa of Allah azza wa jal, the way that he is meant to be revered, and do not die except in the state of submission as Muslims. Ya ayyuha an-nasu taqu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum min nafsin wahida وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. O people, O mankind, have the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that God consciousness, that mindfulness of Allah azza wa jal, the one who has created you from a single soul, and from him he created his spouse, and from both of them he created many men and women. And have that taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one from whom you demand your mutual rights and those of kin, because Allah azza wa jal is always watching over that which we do. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu attaqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadida yuslih lakum a'malakum wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum wa man yuti'illaha wa rasulahu faqad faza fawzan azima. O you who believe, have that taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say that which is just and the truth. Because if you do so, Allah Azza wa Jal will rectify your affairs and forgive your sins. And whomsoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, then those are the ones who have achieved true victory. Amma ba'd, fa inna khayral kalam kalamullah wa khayral hadi hadi Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa sharral umuri muhdathatuha wa kullu muhdathatin bid'a wa kullu bid'atin dalala wa kullu dalalatin fin nar. My dear brothers and sisters, if we look at the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, when there was a truce between the Meccans and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this opened the path for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam now to invite other nations to Islam. So he sent many letters to the Emperor of Rome, to the Emperor of Persia, and one of those letters went to the region of Yamama. This is what you would consider modern day Riyadh. And from amongst the leaders of the people of Yamama is Thumama ibn Uthal. He is one of the chiefs of the tribe of Banu Hanifa. And as typical of them, they rejected the offer of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nonetheless, one day it happened that Thumama ibn Uthal was going for Umrah. And as he's passing by, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had already sent a special ops unit towards the Najd area, towards the Riyadh area, that was led by Muhammad ibn Maslama. On his way back from this expedition, he happens to run into Thumama and his small group of people that's with him. Now they know that this is hostile territory, this might be an enemy, so they picked him up, and they have no idea who they just picked up. They bring him to the city of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they tie him to a pillar of the masjid. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes, and he knows exactly who that is. Now, this is a different era. You don't have newspapers, you don't have media, the way that everyone knows who is somebody of importance. But these people have probably never left Medina, and if they did, there's no chance that they're going to that area and dealing with the likes of Thumama. Nonetheless, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew exactly who that was, and he told them that this is Thumama ibn Uthal, the leader of the tribe of Banu Hanifa. And he orders for him to be tied there, and he leaves him there. When it was time for food, they come, give him food. When he needs to relieve himself, they let him go. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes and he asks him, "Ma indak ya Thumama? What do you have? What are you thinking? What do you think is going to happen to you?" So Thumama responds and he tells the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Indi khayr, that I have goodness in me. In taqtulni taqtul dha damin, that if you were to kill me, then you will kill somebody who has blood on their hands. Not only that, but you would also kill somebody whose blood is worth a lot. That they're not just going to sit back and let you get away with this. It's going to cause commotion. In tun'im tun'im ala shakir. If you were to be grateful and let me go, then you're going to be grateful to somebody who is going to reciprocate that gratitude. Wa in kunta turidul mal. And if it is money that you want, fasal minhu ma shi'. Then ask for whatever you want, I'll give it to you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam leaves him, does not ask him anything else, and he goes and he conducts his affairs. And then he comes back the next day, and he asks him the same thing. Ma indak ya Thumama? What are you thinking about? Tell me your thought process. What's going on? What do you think is going to happen with you? And he tells him the same thing. In taqtul, taqtul dha damin. If you kill me, you're going to kill somebody who has a lot of blood on his hands. Not only that, it's worth a lot as well. If you honor me, you will honor somebody who is grateful. And if it is money that you want, ask for whatever you want. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam leaves him, goes, comes back the next day, and asks him the exact same thing. And he responds with the same way, that if you were to kill me, you have the right to do so, but it's going to cause a lot of problems. If you are generous towards me, you'll be generous to somebody who is going to be grateful to you. And if you want money, then ask for whatever you want, you'll get it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has this high value prisoner in his custody. And the Sahaba know exactly now who he is and what he's worth and what he's done to cause harm to the Muslims. But after this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam turns to them and he tells them, let go of Thumama, let him go. The Sahaba look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You can imagine that, okay, what's going on here? Why would he just let him go? But they don't dare object to the order of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they let him go. Now, Thumama leaves the masjid and he goes to the area by the Baqi', which is the graveyard of Medina. Now, before going to what happens next, let's pull back a little bit. He was in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for 3 days. The only thing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him was, "What are you thinking? What is he witnessing in those 3 days? Where is he?" Number one, the masjid. What is the role of the masjid, especially in that time? The masjid is the main hub of the Muslims. Everything in that community is happening inside the masjid. Strategic plans are being made. The Quran is being recited. The worshippers are coming to the masjid early for salah. The people of Suffa, the poor people who didn't have any family, any tribal backing, had no resources to their name, were living in the masjid, being honored and taken care of. Bilal radiallahu anhu, and this is a tribalistic society, he is the leader of a tribe, and he notices Bilal coming in the mornings and different times, going and giving the adhan, the call to prayer. How is this happening? He is seeing something that is completely different. The Quran is hearing the Quran being recited. Not only the Quran being recited, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reciting the Quran. He's seeing poor, rich, old, young, Arab, non-Arab, everyone coming together and everyone loving and honoring one another. Not only that, he's a leader in himself. He knows what it means to be respected, what it means to be valued, what it means to be held in high esteem. Because of his financial status, his status within that community, and he sees the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he sees his house around the masjid. It's not that much. Probably this area here would be the size of the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He sees him go in and out of that house. He knows he doesn't have much to his name in terms of financial wealth, but he sees a level of devotion, love, respect that a leader of his status cannot command. It's different. Because it is of divine origin. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is sending them the Quran. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is engaging with the people. He is showing them the true beauty of Islam. And he's seeing this for 3 days. Everything that you can imagine is happening in the masjid. Wedding contracts, military strategy, discussions about other things, rectification between people, the love of the companions to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not only that, but the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to his companions as well. Now, does this impact him? Somebody who has hatred for the deen of Islam. He goes, he takes a bath, we could say, and he comes back to the masjid and he enters. And you can imagine the faces of the Sahaba as they notice Thumama walking in. Why is he back? What's he going to do? Is something going to happen here? And he approaches the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he says, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluh." That I bear witness that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah Azza wa Jal, and that you are his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he tells the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Ya Muhammad, ما كان على الأرض وجه أبغض إلي من وجهك." That there was not a face on the face of this earth before this moment that was more hated to me. I absolutely despise that face than your face. فقد أصبح وجهك أحب الوجوه إلي. But now your face has become the most beloved of faces to me. And he said, there is not a religion on the face of this earth that was more hated to me than your religion. But now your religion is the most beloved to me. And there was no city that I hated more, that I wanted to get rid of, than your city. But now your city has become more beloved to me than all of the cities in the world. And he said that when your people captured me, I was going for Umrah. What do you think I should do? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells him, go and continue this journey. So he goes to Mecca and he makes the call for Umrah, the Talbiyah. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika laka labbaik. Now, we know the Talbiyah. The Quraysh, they would add something to it. They would say, La sharika lak illa sharikun huwa lak tamlikuhu wa ma malak. Which translates into that when we say, oh Allah, we respond to this call, you have no partner to you. La sharika lak, absolutely no partner. They would say that and they would add, except a partner that belongs to you, you own it, and whatever it does as well. So their declaration of shirk, pretty much. So Thumama, he makes the Islamic call to Umrah, and they hear this, and you think they're just going to let him go? That you're going to come, you're going to dare come into our territory, and then on top of that, you're going to insult us by making this claim? So they jumped on him. Now, most people don't recognize who he is, but the leaders, they recognize what's going on here. Who is this person? What? And they recognize Thumama. So they go and they pull them off and tell them, leave this person alone because he is from the leader of Yamama. And that's where the grain comes to us. And should he prevent it coming from us, we're going to be destroyed. So he tells them that, Wallahi, I am not going to let any grain, any wheat come from Yamama, except if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives permission. So what he does is he puts an economic or trade embargo upon them. And there's nothing there that Mecca has. It's all desert. They're dependent on that, and he puts a wheat embargo upon them. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. والعاقبة للمتقين. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. So Thumama puts this trade embargo upon them. And they need that grain coming from Yamama. Is it going to impact them? Oh, it did. They were going through such a difficult time that they sent a delegation, and some narration said they wrote a letter to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, pleading with him to tell Thumama to lift this embargo. And also using emotional blackmail that, you know, you command to be merciful to the people and you do this, and it's your own people that are going through this difficulty. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is the very same thing that they did to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions in Mecca. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he tells Thumama to lift this embargo from them, thus restoring the grain that was coming in. There's two things that I want to highlight over here. The first thing is the narrative that Thumama was witnessing, the narrative that he had before he came to Medina, was one of extreme hatred, that this religion, this way of life, this man is coming and he's destroying our society the way that we know it. This narrative that was created in his mind through hearing the different stories and different things that are going on shaped his perspective and his narrative. But when he came to Medina and those 3 days that he spent there, he saw the reality of the situation. He saw the beauty of Islam. He saw exactly who the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. He understood what the Quran was, and he knew that it couldn't be except from Allah Azza wa Jal. So his narrative completely shifted because the truth was presented to him. He saw how Islam is meant to be implemented, how it's meant to be loved, how it's meant to be lived between the companions, how it transforms a society. He actually saw that, and that changed his narrative completely. The question that we have to ask ourselves is that if non-Muslims were to come into our centers, were to come into our homes, would their perception be shifted? Would their narrative change of how they look at Muslims? Because there's a lot of money being spent to control the narrative and paint you and I in a very negative light. So if they and their exposure is you and I in this world, if they see us, if they were to spend time with us, would it pique their curiosity for them to be like, you know what? There's something different. They don't seem like what the media is painting them to be, what the politicians are saying about them, what the right-wingers are saying about them. Let me go and pick up the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let me read and learn a little bit about Islam. The second thing is the battle of narrative is extremely important as well. Because if we look at the situation in Gaza, part of the narrative is painting them as less than human. The media uses wordings very strategically. Settlers versus occupation. Self-defense versus terrorism. This is not just like that. It is purposely done, strategically done, so that there is a narrative that is created about our brothers and sisters in Gaza and the Muslim world as well. The change that happens is people have to wake up to the reality of the true narrative that's there. And you and I have to show them. When they woke up to that, you saw the protests happening in the universities. But it has to keep going. What changed the course of the Vietnam War was exactly that. American people woke up to the reality of the situation there. While initially, the idea of the threat of communism was a good idea. But when they saw the reality of what's happening there and how long it's going and how many soldiers died there, that, okay, what is the benefit of this? Why are we engaged in this war in the first place? They put enough pressure on the government that it changed its stance and called the troops back. And this has happened not only that, but apartheid, South Africa, the civil rights movement. It comes to the population waking up, changing the narrative, showing the narrative in a different light, the true narrative that's there. And we also need to bring the true narrative to light as well. that what is the reality of the situation there. But sometimes you can't just enter a conversation and be like, Israel this and Palestine that. Because as soon as the person hears that, they get triggered. And they create their own, what their narrative is going to come back. So we got to be strategic as well. And I'm not saying I have all the answers. But one narrative is, okay, when you see something like the hurricane that just happened, and such a big part of America or in North Carolina itself was damaged, and you cannot send the money to help those people while you have billions to send to be utilized on innocent civilians. What's going on here? Why is that the case? If it's about America first and our interests, then why isn't that money, that funding that is available, it seems available, that it's there to go to them, but why isn't it being sent here first? Change their perception. Get them to lower their barriers. And that leads to them seeing a different narrative. And we are an ummah, we're a community. We have people from all different walks of life, different backgrounds, different education levels, higher positions. We got to come together as an ummah and form a strategy. Okay, how can we put the minds together? Who can do what? Who has the ability? Who has the skill set? Who can teach? Who can educate? Who can uplift the voices of the ummah so that we create that narrative? And we've seen this from time and time again, the American people coming with their narrative. Pro-Israel, so pure, pro-Zionist, seeing the true narrative, seeing the different perspective, now changes their narrative completely. From going from being pro-Israel, because that's all they've been fed the whole time, that's all they've been fed. But when they see the other side, they see the voices being amplified on social media, then they get to see that other side, and that wakes them up. Like, oh, something's going on here. This isn't right. We need to put a stop to this. And Sami Hamdi, he said that, you know, we look at the situation that, okay, you know, what can I really do? We're about 1-2 million in this part of the world. What can we really do? The real change should come from the people who are overseas, the people who have that power. But just think of what he said. He's like, why are these lobbyists, why were they trying to ban TikTok in the first place? What are they so afraid of? Who are they afraid of? Why are they afraid of the public opinion so much that they're going to go to a society that boast and say that we have freedom of speech? Anyone can say whatever they want, but you want to ban a platform like TikTok. You put shadow bans on accounts and Instagram. Why is that the case? Because they are afraid of the public opinion. Because if it changes and there's enough pressure being put on them, it's only a matter of time before they have to put a stop to it. May Allah Azza wa Jal give us the strength. May He uplift the voices of the ummah. May He unite our hearts when it comes to our quest for truth and justice. May He put an ease to the suffering of our brothers and sisters all across the world. May He give them goodness. May He put an end to this nonsensical war. May He give goodness to the people of Gaza, the people of Lebanon, the people of Syria, the people of Sudan, the people of Bangladesh, the people wherever they are that are going through a difficult time. May He put an ease to them. May He also help the victims of the hurricane that were here, restore to them their way of life. May He give us goodness in this world and the next. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala al-Nabi. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Inna Allah ya'muru bil adli wal ihsani wa ita'i dhil qurba wa yanha 'anil fahsha'i wal munkari wal baghi. يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون أقم الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
استووا استقيموا واعتدلوا please join the lines close the gaps make sure you fill the rows in front before starting one in the back
الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا نودي للصلاة يوم الجمعة فاسعوا إلى ذكر الله وذروا البيع ذلكم خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون فإذا قضيت الصلاة فانتشروا في الأرض وابتغوا من فضل الله واذكروا الله كثيرا لعلكم تفلحون وإذا رأوا تجارة أو لهوا انفضوا إليها وتركوك قائما قل ما عند الله خير من اللهو ومن التجارة والله خير الرازقين الله سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد الله سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
السلام عليكم. Welcome to your masjid on this lovely day, the 4th. The victims of Hurricane Helene are in dire need of your donations. The Social and Welfare Committee is collecting funds to help those affected. Please donate online generously on our website, RaleighMasjid.org. Also, don't forget to support your masjid by adding to the donation box or kiosk before leaving. We depend on your support. Join us tonight for educating Muslim voters, mobilizing for elections, and beyond. With guest speakers Dr. Khoder Zarur, Nigel Edwards, Muhammad Omri, Majid Abdul Razak, tonight after Maghrib. Join Imam Saif, a former resident of Medina with a wealth of experience leading Umrah, on an Umrah and Istanbul retreat. Check out iarumrah.org for more details. Deadline to register is the 15th. Al-Ma'idah is running a Jum'ah special. Get their delicious chicken and rice with green salad for only $10. Stop by today. Jazakum Allahu khairan. Enjoy this wonderful week. Wassalamu alaikum.